So we left off yesterday trying to understand a little bit of the lumdus as to what's really going on behind the scenes between the machlekes between the rabbanon about whether mibamin was bottle and mibamin was ain't a bottle. So we gave the razzle dazzle beer of the Ram Bedarmias, the very famous beer. But then it all boils down to, well, who do we pass it like? At the end of the day, do we follow the view of Rabbi Yehuda? Do we follow the view of the rabbanon? So you have to look at different gemaras, different mamari chazal, different amaraim, hachra in the shaylas. So the first place to look is absolutely. It sounds like it's a no-brainer. Rava said, come on, everyone practicing this. What's that? I'm Rabbanan Bawa. Am I still sleeping? Time, I'm Rabbanan Be. Fela, I'm Rabbanan Be. Shishim, good. So one of the examples of I'm Rabbanan Be Shishim, when is Shishim sufficient? So Rava tells us Shishim is good when Tam and Kfela don't make any sense. What are cases of Tam and Kfela don't make any sense? What cases of Tam and Kfela don't make any sense? By Rabbanan. And therefore, I'm Rabbanan Be. So that's a clear-cut indication that it's more clear-cut than that. So two things are right. You just have this Gemara. It sounds like it's a no-brainer. We're talking against Rabbi Yehuda. The problem is there are two statements of Chazal, two other Gemaras, and to make matters even more complicated, they both happen to be statements of Rava, by golly, only to make things even more confused for us. So one statement of Rava is a very, very pivotal Gemara. It is so significant that it's going to become the entire next sugya, which is going to be about 10 times as long as this sugya. And that's the statement of Rava when all the dust settles in Masechet Pesachim and Rav Chodesh from the Rabbit about what's the status of chametz for Pesach. What's the din if you have a little bit of chametz mixed into a taravis or Pesach? What's the story? So the Gemara has everybody under the sun what to say about this. Rava's what to say about it, and Shmuel's what to say about it, and Yoichin's what to say about it. And the only thing that interests us, of course, for our purposes, is what Rava says. Because not only is it Rava speaking, and Rava is a very authoritative voice in Halacha, one of the later Amoraim, who really, really is a serious force to reckon with himself, Halacha. But there's something even more powerful about Rava's statement, because he introduces the statement with what major word? Amorav Hilchasa. The Gemara says Hilchasa. The Gemara quotes in Amorav says Hilchasa. You know that's what's going to be the final Halacha. So we really, really want to understand what Rava said. So what did Rava say? What did Rava say? So Amar Rava. So Rava said somewhere. Amar Rava on the 6th of the Ramakimus. Hilchasa chametz bezmano bein b'mino bein shelo b'mino also b'mashu kerav. Rava said that the halacha follows Rav, who just spoke in the previous Amar. The halacha follows Rav, and chametz bePesach is also bein b'mino bein shelo b'mino. Now what does that mean? That doesn't seem to make any sense whatsoever. Shaloi b'mino, we're not even discussing. Shaloi b'mino, no, he says, anything's b'mashu. So where in the world did that come from? So the answer is you have to go back a little bit and think about it and see what did Rav say, because if Rav is quoting Rav, it's important to know what Rav said. So what Rav said is as follows. Rav said, I'm a Rav, chametz b'zmano, chametz on Pesach. The reason why we're talking about the Pesach, because there's the second half of the sugya that's going to become critical in the next sugya. That's the chumash of a Pesach part, the part that we alluded to yesterday with the Ra'ah, at the very end of the Shia. But that doesn't interest us right now. What interests us is chametz bismano. So bismano means on Pesach. So Amar Rav, chametz bismano is aser b'mashu, bein b'mino, bein shelo b'mino. Why is that? The Gemara says the fact that chametz is aser b'mashu, b'mino, that's not a great surprise that Rav should make such a statement. Why does that not surprise us? If Rav would tell you that a little bit of chametz gets mixed up with meat, let's say a little bit of chametz to gedol, it's mixed up to a big, big batch of matzah to gedol. So it wouldn't come as a great shock to us that Rav would say chametz to place up a meat of a mashu. Why? Because we know for a fact how Rav paskins on the machlokes between the rabbanim. We already are privy to the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. We've read that Gemara before. We spoke about that Gemara before. Rav Shmuel, the Amr Chavaya, what? So Rav and Shmuel, remember we spoke about Shmuel back in the solo color vehicle? So Rav and Shmuel were the biggest supporters, biggest believers of Rabbi Yehuda. So the fact that Rav says, Chametz to Pesach Asim B'mashu B'mino, this is right out of Rabbi Yehuda's book, right? Min B'mino B'mashu. But why is Chametz to Pesach Asim B'mashu even Shelo B'mino? Does that make any sense? Does that fit into any pre-existing pattern? What's the answer? A resounding no. So why is chametz also b'mashu even shalom b'mino? What's the answer? Who remembers? Yeah. It must be a gezeira atum. Okay? So this statement, this whole presentation, is Rav talking. I just quote this right out of Pesach of Tesvot. I'm a Rav. Chomet Shuzmanam, Ben Mimino, Ben Mimino, Ben Mashu. Mimino, Shavlech, Ben Yudah, Shavlech, Mimino, Grazer, Atta, Ben Mimino. Good. If a Rava comes along at the end of the Sukkah and says, I'm a Rava, Hilchasa, the final halach is Chomet Ben Mashu, Chomet Ben Mimino, Ben Mashu, Ben Mimino, Ben Shavlech, Ben Mimino, Ke, Rav. What is Rava giving a stamp of approval to? What is Rav in effect saying? Rav Yehuda. He's taking the words right out of Rav's mouth and saying, hello, it's Rav Yehuda. Because Rav's entire formulation is predicated on the assumption. It's Rav Yehuda plus. It's Rav Yehuda plus Gezerah is Rav Shita. So if Rav signs on to this, so then Rav and Rav are saying the same thing for our purposes. Rav is clearly a Rav Yehuda person. This does not bode well for the Gemara Masechet Chulin. So we now have an alternate Gemara. Now we have a conflicting Gemara. What is Rava's bottom line? Now again, this is critical in Pesach Halacha, because Rava is going to have the final say. The fact that Rav and Shmuel held like Rabbi Yehuda, but Mechilas covered the Helig of Rav and Shmuel, and we Milanu Tachas Kapas Rav and Shmuel, but at the end of the day, Rav is still going to win. You know why? Because Rav is later, Basrai, the later generation. The word Hilchasa, the Maskaras and Gemara, hundreds of years later. So we wanted to tune ourselves into what Rava is telling us, the halacha. Oh, never change. This is like part of the ritual. Since I was a Talmudist. This is a very good man. Okay. All right. So again, so we have right now we have two Gemaras. We have that Gemara that's pretty clear, pretty straightforward, that Rav is concluding against Rav Yehuda. And we have a Gemara Pesachim that's almost black on white, that Rav is starting with Rav Yehuda. There's a third Gemara to throw into the mix. The Gemara has a Machlekes, the end of Masechet Zara, within Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda was the one who suggests this idea that Nidavim and Avotam, the Raisim, the Pesukim, etc. And now the Amoraim have a Machlekes within the world view of Rav Yehuda. How do you define exactly what Mimbamino is? How do you define what precise Mimbamino isn't? How do you define it? If it's the same blood, it's Mimbamino. If it's the same chicken, it's Mimbamino. What could possibly be the Maglaikis? The Gemara says, well, whenever you want to define whether two things are identical or different, as we already mentioned yesterday, you have to zero in on what characteristics are important. Now again, this is Rabbi Yehuda speaking. So the world view of Rabbi Yehuda, what characteristics are not important?
Halacha.
That's a good line out of context. Right? Halacha is not important, right? That really doesn't matter. A lot of people like Rabbi Yehuda in this world, right? Rabbi Yehuda is not important. Halacha is not important. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, even if you emphasize the physical world, there are a lot of different parts of the physical world. There are physical characteristics such as taste. There are physical characteristics such as what the people call something. And those two things are not necessarily the same. So let's say, the mashal, you can have two foods that taste identical, but they're called very, very different things. And the Gemara even fills you in, gives you a little bit of a trip down a culinary path. The Gemara starts talking about just practical examples. Two foods that taste the same, but they're called very different. When Marshall the Gemara says, if you have wine that hasn't really turned into wine yet, it's really more of a more grape juice kind of a thing. You have a bottle of this wine, it's a Yayin Chadosh, and you have grapes. So they taste the same. On the other hand, these are grapes, and these are called wine. It's called something different, but it tastes the same. So is that called Mimbamino? Is that called Mimbamino? And vice versa. So that machlokes that is developed in the animal sense of Edazara only makes sense in the worldview of Rabbi Yehuda. The Holy Rabbanon, that Mimbamino is a non-entity. There is no such special category. There is no deraisa called Mimbamino. There is no derasha of Damapar and Damasar, except the fact that all of them are not the way with us. So only within the world of Rabbi Yehuda can you further dissect the topic and thus figure out how precisely to define what's called Mimbamino. So the later Amoraim are talking about that. Any Amira who weighs in on that discussion is by definition accepting who? Rabbi Yehuda. Otherwise you're wasting your time. So which great Amoraim talk about that? Two. One of them's name is Abaye, and the other one, unfortunately for us, is Rava. So if Rava is talking about that topic, that seems to be that Rava is buying very much into Rabbi Yehuda. So now we have another Gemara that's weighing on the topic. So we have Sugyas and Pesachim, which is clearly putting Rava into Rabbi Yehuda's camp. We have Sugyas and Avodah Zarah, that Rava happens to hold Pasa Shema, as we know. He holds that all depends on what it's called. Which is, again, that whole issue is only a Rabbi Yehuda issue. So Rava is a Rabbi Yehuda man. So we have two Gemaras that are clear as day that Rava is pasuk Rabbi Yehuda. The problem is, what do you do with Chulin? Because after all, Rava is the one who says, Amar Rabbanan be Shishim, i.e., Gemin Gemina. This is clearly putting Rava into the camp of the Rabbanan. So this is the kasha that all the Rishonim have to deal with. This is the issue. Everything hinges upon what the answer to this question is. So Yadua Umafursam, whenever you have these kinds of machloksim, there are only two ways to go. These kind of sugyas, there are only two ways to go. What are the two ways to go? You have to either take the approach that this is the only Gemara that really matters, and this Gemara is totally irrelevant, or never really said it, or patch grew the gears a little bit. This Gemara is totally irrelevant, totally meaningless, never really said it, you totally misunderstood it, and there's really only one Gemara that matters. That's one approach in Rishonim. But the other approach in Rishonim is to say, no. These two Gemaras mean what they say, and this is the emes. I think about Chulin, oh, you missed the boat, you misunderstood it, you got to read this. So everyone agrees you have to do surgery on one of these two sugyas, one of these three sugyas, two out of three sugyas. Something's got to go. Either you got to accept this one and do surgery on these two, or you got to accept these two and do surgery on this one. So that's the root of the Machlokes Rishonim. Where is the surgery? Which Gemara are we going to redo and reshape and reformulate and make it not say what it sounds like it's saying? That's the whole shot. So, as Yadua, this was a Machlokes between who and who? Which great Rishonim weighed into this topic? Rashi and Rabbi Tam and the rest of the world, right? It was pretty much Rashi against everybody. I mean, everybody in this one, okay? Almost everybody in this one. So Rashi, in a few places, says that in Tzachim and Avodah Zarah and Korin also, Rashi says the bottom line is it's easier to do surgery in one Gemara than do surgery in two Gemaras. So the two Gemaras carried the day. Rabbi Yehuda said what he said, and Rava said what he said, and Rava passed like Rabbi Yehuda, and Shalom Yisrael. The Gemara in Chulin, what do you do with this Gemara? Amar Rabbanan b'shishim, min b'mina, what are you talking about? So comes Tosfos and brings back a Rishon we haven't heard of in a while. Who's that? Rabbi Ephraim, remember him? For the good old days. Comes Rabbi Ephraim, Balei Tosfos, and says, let me explain to you how to reread this Gemara. And it is a genius pshat how to reread this Gemara. Because what it does is, it steals from which Gemara? Rabbi Ephraim grabs something out of another Gemara to explain Chulin. What do I mean by that? It wasn't on the Tosfos? It wasn't there? He grabs from the Gemara of Avodah Zarah. He goes back to the Machloikes Abayi and Rav in Avodah Zarah. How exactly, how precisely do you define Min B'mino? And he uses Rava's very, very strange Mechudish definition of Min B'mino to solve the world's problems. Well, how did Rava define Min B'mino? Rava says it doesn't really matter on what it tastes like. What does it matter? It matters what it's called. That means the only thing that really matters is what it's called. It doesn't really matter what it tastes like. How does that help us? So says Rabbi Ephraim, says Tosfos B'das Rashi, that in theory, when Rava said these magic words, remember those words that woke you up in the middle of the night, Amar Rabbanan b'shishim, b'min b'mino. What do you think that meant? I thought that meant min b'mino, right? Isn't that what the words mean? Well, what is Rava really trying to say? Let's analyze exactly. What's Rava trying to find? What's he looking for? He spoke about his three categories, Amar Rabbanan b'kfeila, Amar Rabbanan b'tayim, Amar Rabbanan b'kfeila, and now he's looking for a third category that tam is irrelevant. Okay? Correct? Tam is irrelevant. Why? Why is it irrelevant? Why is the tam not going to help? Why is kfeila not going to help? Why is being tam not going to help? Because it's what? Now don't call it min b'mino yet. Why is it? Because what? Why is tam going to be irrelevant? Because it's the same tam, right? That's all Rava wanted to say. All Rava wanted to highlight is that it has the same tam, and therefore don't do a taste test. In contrast, the cases of kfeila, in contrast to cases of the Imas Kaye, the Imas Yisrael, in contrast to cases where it's logical to taste, don't be fooled and say, well, the rabbi's going to tell the lady, you got to have somebody taste it. I taste it. The rabbi told taste the same. So all Rava was really trying to highlight is that the taste is the same. Now, wait a second. The fact that the taste is the same, does that automatically mean that it's what? That it's halachically what? Mimino? Not necessarily. Because according to Rav, if it has a what? If it has a different name, even though it has the same taste, it is a type of a tarnoves that is not tasteable, because it has the same taste. But on the other hand, what is it not? It's not mibimino. And therefore, what will it be bottled in? Shishim. And that's exactly what Rav was talking about. So, Omer Rabbanim b'shishim, bimin bimino, just kidding, says Rabbi Nachman. It doesn't really mean bimino. What does it really mean? It means oso tahav, and therefore don't bother tasting it. So that's why it's a stirred, distinct category. But what really is it in its heart of heart? It's from oso tahav, but beis shemos, and therefore Rav Lishitoso categorizes as what? As min b'she'eino mino, and therefore, by golly, if it's min b'she'eino mino halachically, what is it not subject to? It's not subject to what halacha? This is Rabbi Yehuda Paskin, this is Rav Paskin, it's not subject to what? Min b'mino b'mashu. And therefore, what Rav said makes perfect sense. That's the surgery that Rabbi Ephraim just did in our sugya to defend Shitas Rashi. Gevaldik pshat, right? Meridik pshat. What's the problem with the pshat?
Didn't say that.
A pure textual problem. What's the pure textual problem? So then, if according to Rava, that is min b'she'eino mino, so why didn't Rava say that? Why did Rava call it min b'mino? I mean, the answer is correct. But Ephraim is 100% right in Lomdus. His Lomdus is gevaldik. You can't argue with Ephraim's Lomdus. Tacha, this would be min b'she'eino mino, and therefore tacha would be balta b'shishim. Notwithstanding the similarity of taste. That is all correct. Don't be arguing with what Rabbi Ephraim just said. The only problem is, that is the most backwards way of presenting it. Why would Rava call it that if that's not what it is? Just to confuse us. So Taisus doesn't really like this pshat. The Rishonim don't really like this pshat. And because the Rishonim don't like this pshat, it's so glaring, so difficult textually. Not conceptually, conceptually it's glot. But textually it's so difficult. The Rishonim were more prone to accepting our Gemara. This is the Gemara that really carries the day. Forget this whole story. Min Bino means Pshut Kimashmo. And the Gemaras that we're going to reject, and we're going to revamp, and reformulate, are actually two Gemaras. Of course, it makes life much more difficult for us. Now we have to do two surgeries instead of one surgery. What are we going to do? We have no choice. So let's start. So let's try to reconstruct these two sugyas out of the realm of Rashi, out of the realm of Mivimino and Abafo, into the world of the Rabbanim, which is the view of Rav Etam, Taisus, Rub the Rub of the Bishay. So, Abazoi, that we follow the Rabbanon. Abazoi, that Rav himself follows the Rabbanon. So, how could Rav say with a straight face, I'm a Rav, Hilchasa, Chomets for Pesach, Bein Bamina, Bein Shlobamina, Bamashu, Kirav? How could he say that? Terrible. What's the answer? What did Rava say exactly? What did Rava say? Amar Rava. Read the words carefully. 60 manukavs. Amar Rava. Hilchasa, the final halach is chamesh tizmano, bein b'mino, bein shlo b'mino, asa b'mashu, kirav. What does the word kirav mean? Kirav could just mean, just as Rav paskin the following halacha, I agree to his psak, but what do we call that? The law of what? La mitameh. I don't necessarily agree to his reason. I, Rav, also will paskin. The same woman comes to ask me about the chometz, throw it to the pot. I will give the identical psak, but not because they hold like Rav. We know why Rav said what he said. Rav said what he said because he held like Rabbi Yehuda, and then he made a gezeira, atomino. So we know exactly the rationale of Rav, but we're much more interested in what the rationale of Rava was. How could Rava come to the same conclusion of Allah Mitameh? What's the answer of Isaiah? It's quite possible that we follow the Rabbanon. Rava Paschal is like the Rabbanon. And therefore, Minah Torah Taka, it's Taka Bothil. But what? There are two magic words. What are they? Chomer de Chomet. Oh, yeah, yeah. Chomer de Chomet. Chomet, we get nervous. Everyone shakes. Pesach time, we get very, very nervous. Things that we would never, ever, ever, chumras, we would never dream of all year long, everything goes on Pesach. Chumras galore. You got more aluminum foil in the Jewish home than ever exists the rest of the year. It's unbelievable, the chumras, people on their hands and knees and looking for crumbs and mice. Chumras, everything is chumras. Some people are so mach mechum dechumis, they threw the whole yontif out the back. Can't do it, so they have to go away for Pesach. They can't be machmas, so we have to go make a lechid. So Baruch Hashem, you know, there's still we can have a chum dechumis, have our chumis, and have a matz and eat it. Take it home and do our chum dechumis. It's also possible. So Rabbi Sai comes to us and says, it's nitan le'amer that Rav paskid exactly like Rav for a totally different approach, totally different lumdus. The lumdus was just as Rav himself also accepted Chumash D'Chametz. How do I know that? Even Rav bought into Chumash D'Chametz to a lesser degree.
Oh,
what? Shalom Aminu. Because even according to Rav, there was no reason to ask a Shalom Aminu Mashu. Even Rav concedes that must have been a Chumash D'Chametz. So Rav just outdid Rav in the Chumash D'Chametz. Rav said, I personally hold Rav Yudas not accepted. That I'm going to invoke you, Rav, your Chumash D'Chametz, that you used it as a gezeira of the Mino, I'm going to use it as the explanation for everything. Hakol Mikokol. Bein the Yisra of Mino, Bein the Yisra of Shalom of Mino, is all going to be based on Chumash D'Chametz. So, at the end of the day, Rav is in sync with Rav's conclusion, but not at all in sync with Rav's background, with Rav's reasoning. Just as an aside, Rabbi, if this Tosis is correct, that Rav and Rava are identical in conclusion, but very, very different in terms of rationale. Namely, Mino is Me'ikar Adin, and this is, and Shalom Mino is just a Chumra. Unlike Rava, who says that everything is a Chumra, they come to the same conclusion. They both invoke Chumash D'Chametz, but it's a very, very different kind of Chumash D'Chametz. What do I mean by that? It's conceptually a different mindset in terms of Chumash D'Chametz. What was Rav's Chumash D'Chametz? What was his version of Chumash D'Chametz? What was Rav thinking when he said the words Chumash D'Chametz? He said, we're going to make a gezeira that we probably shouldn't have made, and we in fact don't make it called Tarku. We don't ever have a chumra, chumra de chazir, chumra de chelav, chumra de dam. We don't have those chumras. We're going to make a very, very specific chumra. Don't do A, lest you come to do B. What's A and what's B? Don't rely on bitul femino. I'm sorry, don't rely on bitul v'shalom femino, lest you come to rely on bitul femino, which would be in this agama mitaraisa. So the Chumash D'Chametz is a gezeira bi atu a. According to Rav, what does Chumash D'Chametz mean? Is there any specific thing that we're worried about? Is there any direct concern that we could point to? No. Chumash D'Chametz here means a different topic altogether. It means a mindset. It means an environment, an atmosphere that permeated the Jewish home on Pesach. We want to make sure that we're really, really, really from Pesach time. We want to be super duper duper careful. A lot of Yerushalayim and Pesach time, because the ramifications of violating chametz, it's so easy to violate chametz, and the ramifications, conflicts are so serious, courage, disaster. So therefore, we're going to throw and slap you with chumras, even though there is no exact correlation from A to B. So this is just an interesting insight in general about dinim derabbanan. Sometimes we find isurim derabbanan that are exact correlations, namely, don't do A, lest you do B. And sometimes there is a rabbanan, there is a duty that we want to create a certain mindset, a certain avira, not that we can pinpoint and say there's an exact cause and effect between A and B. So what's going on in between the lines here, according to the way Tosfos is now reading the Sugya Maseches Pesachim, both Rava and Rav accept the idea of Chumash D'Chametz, but they're using it in very, very different ways. So that's Tosfos first, but that's the easiest way out of salvaging Rav. Rav in Tzachim didn't really mean that he's following Rav literally. What's another way? Perhaps an even less invasive surgery, or maybe more invasive surgery than the text of the Gemara. What word could one possibly question's existence? It could be that we have an extra word in this Girsa. Period. Not Kirav. Now, which would obviously translate lumdus to the exact same thing, but you don't have to force yourself to say kirav alo kirav, kirav alo b'taymi derav, if you don't have the word kirav. So there were some yourselves who didn't have the word kirav. Some of yourselves didn't have that word. Again, it's smoother, it's cleaner. Again, but it's, again, totally with yourselves. If you have the word kirav, you don't have the word kirav. So at the end of the day, it doesn't make much of a difference whether you have the word or not. At the end of the day, it's kirav alo b'taymi derav. so we can breathe a sigh of relief. And then, im faraskva, if you already have your eraser, ready erasing words in the Gemara, you might as well go the distance. Come to Heiliger Abed Tav and said, he's not even sure that the word what is there. No, the word Amr is there, the word Rav is there, the word Hukas is there. The Mashu is there. Abed Tav said, I'm not even sure that word is right. And he shows you that he just met the yourselves, the Rishad, the Shiltas, the Ga'inim already, who didn't have the word. And you know what the Gemara meant to say? Amar Rav Hukas Chaz Pesach, Bein Bismano, Bein Shalom Bismano, Osir. But how much? Pshishim. Now, of course, that's a very, very difficult statement. What is so problematic about such a statement? You know, when the Gemara says, Amar Rava Hilchasa, Hilchasa has the kind of, it's like a hear-you, like, everyone, listen up. You know, what we've been talking about till now is nice and cute and lumbus, but you want to know, Rabbi, what the bottom line is? Here it comes. Here, the Rabbi gets up, and it's quiet, hush in the shul. Hilchasa, Halacha L'maisa, forget the Gemara, Halacha L'maisa, here it is. If a little chametz falls into a taraivas, it's aser. How much? Nice in time. And the rabbi sits down. So what do you think the Baal Bahadur think at that point? What do you think the mood in the shul is? I would say two phrases, two mavar chazal come to mind. All right? One is, mayahana le rabbanan. What do I need the rabbis for? I didn't know that. And manishtana, no pun intended, chametz from shari sur, that was a joke, okay? Manishtana just wasn't meant that way. Guys, didn't catch it yet. Manishtan is Pesach, Chomet, you know. Okay. Those who didn't catch that yet, come back to some. All right? So, the first response to that gerus of Amar Rav, Hilchasachon, Sazman, or Osir, if Rav is telling me, B'mashu, or he's telling Mashu Karab, well, that's an eye-opener, that's something. That Rav, the rabbi's here to tell me something. Maybe I don't like davening the shul, because the rabbi's too religious, he has chomers. I want to go to the more modern shul, where the rabbi says it's not the Mashu, but at least I'm paying the rabbi for something. Whereas the other shul, I'm paying the rabbi to tell me that chametz gets mixed into a pot. I can't even whoop through. I need a rabbi for it. I can also learn Maseches Chulin and Daf Yomi. I can also Google how to pass Shilas. So it's a very, very strange statement. Why did Rava make such a statement that that's all he said? So you have to know enough about the Gemara Pesach to understand that. We'll get to that hopefully next to you. But Rabbeinu Tam tells you that's what it says. That's all it is. There ain't no more. It's very possible that the Girsa actually, the Mashu doesn't exist. The Girsa Karaf, the Zichah doesn't exist. And it would be a startling statement that Chometz of Pesach is in fact no different from anything else. If that's the gears like Rabbi Tam is arguing, that would be great. That would be one, that would avoid all Shilas. And then, of course, the Gemara Pesachim would be right in sync with exactly what we expected Rabbi to say based on Asik. Now, again, we have a lot to talk about this in the next Sugya about the two gears, because this Rabbi Tam changed the world. And again, at the end of the day, we don't pass like this Rabbi Tam. But in between the lines, everyone's in a blue moon, it was Pesach, when you have a lot of shaylas that come up, is there a terubah? Is that a terubah? Every once in a while, you find an achra that will say something about the following. Will say, well, it's probably mutter anyway for this reason, that reason, the other reason, and there's what was always a sniff loco. Icing on the cake is always what? And maybe Rabbeinu Tam's right. It's like, you know, Siviation, either that after we're mounted for 15 other reasons, that it's a Shasel Chakre, Hefsin Baman, Hefsin Ruben, it's a Machom Ha'orchim, and you know, it's the ready sitting by the Seder. After you see, when all the dust settles, so they always see this wash at the end of the Tshuva. And by the way, don't forget, Rabbeinu Tam held that the whole thing doesn't exist anyway. That's a very, it's a common refrain in place. So I'll tell you, Meister Shoya Kachoya. Okay? Meister Rav, kind of. This goes back over 25, I don't remember exactly, remember that, almost 25 years, it's more than 25 years ago. It was Shabbos in Riverdale, and there was a special guest in town for Shabbos. You probably heard of him, his name was Shlomo Kalbach, okay? He's still alive then, okay? In the old days, he came as a guest for Shabbos. And he had an for the Yomlid, a couple of different shuls, and had a couple of some of my friends over, we were like, you know, trailing him. Kalbach then was a different, it was a whole different world. It wasn't, you know, different connotations. Yeah. Whatever they were, but it's a different world. So he spoke at Shalosh Shodas in the Yogizu of Rudel, Rabbi Willichum. Can you imagine the scene? He spoke at Shalosh Shodas, and he sang a little bit, a little Zmiras, and he led the singing a little bit, and he spoke. It was a couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks before Pesach. And he started Kedarka Bakardesh to telling a story and, you know, singing and stories and singing and stories about a Yidler, there's a little Yidler. And it was a Pesach, oh, yeah, I was about to say there, and then, and then the Yidler's wife, you know, comes screaming out, Gavalt, there was some chametz that was mixed in to the pot, Gavalt, what are we going to do? And she came, they ran to the Rav in the middle of the Seder, and he was juicing it up and labor digging it up. And the Rav said that it's okay, you know what? And as he's singing and praying, it's Rabbeinu Tam, you can always learn Rabbeinu Tam. That wasn't the first time I heard the Rabbeinu Tam, I remember hearing that kind of Rabbeinu Tam. And then the song and the dance and the story continued. And he said that the Rav upaskid the Shaila had a dream that night. He had a dream that night that Rabbeinu Tam came to him in a dream. I remember watching Ray Willis, like, look into that. Rabbeinu Tam came to him in a dream and told him, someone's got to do some dissecting on this tape. Rabbeinu Tam came to him in a dream and said that I wrote that Tosfos because I knew there's going to be a Yidler someday. His wife's going to come crying. So I wrote that Tosfos. So you should know that Chometz of Pesach is not the Mashavu. That's all the song. Okay, anyway, come back to that story. So Rabbeinu Tam, the good news is that if no one remembers anything from this sugya, at this point you remember this story. So Zok Rabbeinu Tam is like, Zok Rabbeinu Tam, the chometz is not the mashiv, so the kush is the korleisa. And even if you're not willing to go as far as Rabbeinu Tam to mamash to toss out the girsa, you can still salvage the girsa. Even if it has the word karab, you can touch it up. And without the word karab, it's even better. So when all the dust settles, the Balei Tosfos are pretty convinced that the Gemara Pesachim is not a dead giveaway that you follow Rabbeinu. That's the bottom line. So Rashi's whole strength, Rashi Pesachim, the Flamet says, Mikan, halach, Rabbeinu Tam, nish, not true. But there's still another Gemara I've got to dissect. There's one more Gemara left. It's staring us in the face, the Gemara of Elazar. The Gemara of Elazar has a whole machlok, it's a bayan, unfortunately, Rava. All talking about what are the details of Vinbamino. What are the details of Vinbamino? Mach pati with the details. If you don't like Rabbi Yehuda, I couldn't care less what the details are, and the whole details are the plot. So comes Tyson and says, no. The machlok is a bayan Rava. Is not meshuba to Rabbi Yehuda. The machlokes Abayin Rava is an independent machlokes about any and every area in halacha or the friendship between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shmuel Amino. How do you define Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shmuel Amino? True, says Tosfos, in most areas of halacha, it doesn't really matter because we pass and get to Rabbi anyway. Everybody knows not like Rashi, but even in the non-world of Rashi, even the world of the Rabbanu of Rabbi Yehuda. There are a few cases when Vinbamino is important. There are no, just by quirk. Happens to be a case you learn at the end of Avodah Zarah, which happens to be when the sugya appears. Happens to be a din that Stam Yenam Yai Nesach, wine that was poured in Avodah Zarah, is Osip B'mashu. Only when? Only if it's Vinbamino. There happens to be a look at the Tevel. It's up the troopers of Ma'ash weren't taken off. Is Osip B'mashu? Only when? Only Vinbamino. So there are a few cases here and there where you're even in the non-world of Rabbi Yehuda, even in the world of Rabbi Yehuda, it's important to know what Vinbamino is or Vinbamino is. And that's Rabbi Rava. So you Rashi mistakenly committed Abai and Rava's Machlekes to an assumption, to an acceptance of Rabbi Yehuda's view. You Rashi couldn't have envisioned Abai and Rava discussing the topic, unless you subscribe to Rabbi Yehuda's view, it's not true, says Rabbi Yehuda. It's not true, says Tosfos, that you could deny Rabbi Yehuda and still find it important to discuss the intricacies, the details of what is Mimina, what's not Mimina, because it is not Mimina, it's in other areas of Halacha. So therefore, that Gemara of Avodah Zarah is totally, completely what? Irrelevant. It doesn't prove anything. It's just about Machlokes about what Mimina was, but that doesn't mean that you really bind Rabbi Yehuda. It's important for other aspects of Hilchos Taraitis. So, Habaycha Yivcha, you choose whether you think we should follow Rashi's pshat. The Rashi says the two Gemaras carried the day, and the Gemara Chulin was lav dafka, and you have to pashka in it a little bit, or the Gemara Chulin is dafka, and you have to play around a little bit with these two Gemaras. You could choose whatever you want, but the Rub the Shad already chose, and in Shulchan Aruch it's Rimu v'Gav v'Lishum Sofek, not like Rashi. So nobody that we know of follows it as Rashi. No one's machav Rabbi Yehuda. Shulchan Aruch it's clear as day that min b'mino is not the mashu. And how much is it?
B'shishim.
As who said? Rava and Agamara. Good. Wonderful. The boy said, let's take the sugya one step further. Lehalacha, that we paskin against Rabbi Yehuda, all the shaman except your Rashi paskin against Rabbi Yehuda, you need shishim, right? And when else do you need shishim? What other kind of tarobas do you need shishim for? Mimshen Amina also. Is that the same halacha? At the end of the day, the numbers are the same. When you come to the rabbi and say, Rabbi, is it kosher or not? So the rabbi pulls out his same, remember the two things. He pulls out his same calculator and say, what else? What does he have? I forgot what it was. I forgot what it was. Whatever utensils he was using. And he's measuring shishim. Is it 59? Is it 58? Is it 60? He's doing the same little shishim, irrespective of whether it's a taros and bibbino or it's taros and bibbino. So at the end of the day, is the tzorech for shishim identical or radically different from one another? What do you think the answer to that question is? In the world not of Rashi and Rabbi Yehuda anymore, the world of Rabbi Tam and all the other Rishonim, the world of Shulchan Aruch, you need shishim in both? Is it identical shishim or radically lumdish? It may be the same in the calculated shishim, but in lumdish it is so fundamentally different from one another. What do I mean by that? One's a what? One's a deraisa, one's a derabana. The requirement of shishim for taros and min b'she'enu mino is neither min haTorah. Why? Because you have to reckon with what? With Tav Giger. Now, just as an aside, who would not say that? What? Which great Risha and Rashi would say that? Remember, Rashi's teacher just happens to be the Tav Giger's derabana. Just by fluke, Rashi happens to hold the Tav Giger is on the derabana. But we don't even follow. We don't follow that. Rashi's losing out on these tarovah shaylas. He's losing out to his grandson. But the Tam Shita has carried the day both issues that he argued with Rashi on. So lahalachim shulchan aruch, we paskin that yes, you need shishim for min b'mino, and yes, you need shishim for b'mishen. I mean, putting this on chavetz, it's all a different world. But in basic normative halacha, you need shishim for both. But the shulchan aruch says kavaleh that the requirement for shishim is very different. So the shishim of min b'mino and the shishim of min b'she'en amino are both the number 60, same calculator, but very different. One is deraisa because of chashash atam kikar, and one is only what? The rabbanon. By the way, we said yes. Why do you think they made that issa the rabbanon? Any guesses? Probably a gezeira atam b'she'en amino. That's at least what the Rosh says. There may be other reasons we should, but we're going to go down that route. So this is like Yadua Mufarak. These are the ABCs of Shulchan Aruch. When you learn Simon Tzadiches in your day, this is the first thing you basically bump into. You have the Kfeila, the first line, then you bump into this. This is like Mamash, like the Aleph days of your day. That Shishim is the same, but Lomdus-wise is very, very different. Does it make any difference? Shulchan Aruch is not a Sefer of Lomdus. There's a lot of Lomdus in Shulchan Aruch, but the goal of Shulchan Aruch was not to write you a Shishiva Sefer. It was to tell you the Pesach Halacha. So does it make any difference practically whether it's a shishim derais or shishim derabban? So Shulchan Aruch says yes. Yes, it does. It makes a huge difference. And we spoke about this difference. Right? Who remembers? By Safik. Who remembers the case? Remember the Rashba? Remember the Rashba spoke about? You're not sure. It's nishbach, right? A little bit of it fell in, and you're not sure. You can't figure out how much it is now. Some of it fell, spilled out. So you have a bona fide says, come to the rabbi. Rabbi, I have a Safik shishim. What do I do now? So what's the answer? Depends. If it's a min b'mino shayla, so it's only the rabban anyway. You know you have rov. I mean, come on. You know rov. You have rov. So you know that it's a. You know derais. It's okay. You know it's only a suffix derabban. Suffix derabban. If you're not sure you have shishim on the min b'sheinu mino, then you have to go suffix derais luchoma. Again, this is sifkim on shurach. This is like yedum aforso. The ABCs of your day. These two halachas. Suffix shishim. Min b'mino, safek mekuba, safek shishim by min b'she'en amino, safek mekuba. It's just interesting to note that if Rashi was writing a Shulchan Aruch, what would he say about both of these statements? That they're both not correct. What would Rashi, if Rashi was writing a Shulchan Aruch, what would he say? What would he tell you if he had a safek shishim by min b'she'en amino, what would he say? Safek, it's only derabon anyway, because Tav Giger is not derai, so he would say, safek mekuba, right? What would he say about a suffix shishim of min b'mino? It's a tricky question. I would say I couldn't care less. Even if Avad Shishim is also. It's also what? Also, how also is it? It's also b'deraisa. So, as strange as that may sound, what we paskin is a derabanan. Rashi holds is min b'mino is also b'deraisa. What we paskin is a deraisa. Rashi happens to hold is only a derabanan. Just interesting. That's the way it happens. But again, Rashi Shita, neither one of these things have been accepted in Allah. So as I state in Shulchan Aruch, very nice. Anyone now want to make the last point of the sugya? Now it's very important for us to know whether we have a Tarovus and Bimino, Tarovus and Jeremino. It's very important for us to know because we're looking at Shishu through the eyes of their eyes, their abundance. How do you know whether it's Mubino or not? Is that such a simple question to answer? Is this Mubino or Jeremino? One Gemara all of a sudden is going to have a Tchesemesim. Now by Galilee, I come to the rabbi. Say, rabbi, I have a suffix shishim. It's nishvach, I have a suffix shishim. So the rabbi says, well, what is it? Rabbi, I don't really know because I'm getting, you know, contradictory vibes from this tarobas. So the rabbi says, what are you talking about? So I'll say, well, let me explain to you. The two foods taste the same, but they're called different things. Or they're called the same thing and they taste different. So what is that, rabbi? That's your job. What is that? Is that mibimino mishenimino? And that's important now. Because I get a pasuk and a suffix. So next time this comes up to you, you're a day ABC, you have a suffix shishim. It's not enough just to ask, is it mibimino mishenimino? You have to make sure you're defining those terms properly. So you got to go back to the drawing board, back to Bayim Rava. And what's the answer? We pasuk like Rava. Well, no, the Bayim Rava, but it's not one of the Yalchagam of any stretch of imagination. It's not a good, not an island, nothing. We follow chasuk and Rava. So l'chora, when you want to paskin a shayla and you're a deyasim and tadichesiv gimel about suffix shishim, you have to make sure you define mibimino and mishenamino properly, and the criteria that you're going to use are going to be basa shma, not basa taima. Who makes that? Who connected those dots? Dremel. As I state in the Ramo of Feirish. Black on white, Helig and Ramo. Well, the inin mibimino as dina basa shma. Finished. Lo as nina bosa time. He quotes from a sefer agur, from a kosher dura. It's like poshut, right? Who wants to disagree with the Gemara? Anyone? How can disagree with the Gemara? The Gemara just connects us. He invoked the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, plugged it into Shulchan Aruch, and called it a day. Anyone want to argue with the Gemara? Who here had what to say about this Rabbah? Did I put the next name on the cover? Anyone read that long shach? No. Why not?
It's a long Joseph.
Okay, that's also a long shach, but that's what we're here in this world for. Comes the shach and says, he can't believe that the Rabbah said this. Pilei ploy in Rabbah. Don't be shach, but you say, are you saying this in your day? The ABCs, DEF, what Babish do you say he says in your day? We have categorized two different tarifs. We, Rishayim, the Gemaras. We talk about Mino, we talk about Mishayno Mino, Rava talks about that, Amar Rabbanu B'Taim, Amar Rabbanu B'Kfeil, Amar Rabbanu B'Shisha. Those terms are like coming out of our ears already by now, hopefully in a good way, that there's Mino, Mishayno Mino, and finish. Are those terms correct and accurate in halacha? The terminology min b'mino and the terminology min b'she'enu mino, are those really accurate terms halachically? Is that the proper way to describe what's really going on in the kitchen? I'm going to describe to you two different terms. One is trade for chicken soup falling into kosher chicken soup. And one is tracheal chicken soup falling into potato soup. So every little kid who you're there the first time knows. The first case, right? What was the first case? I forgot which. Chicken is the chicken. Okay, chicken is the chicken, that's the mumino. And chicken is the potato soup, is the mumino. Is that right? Is that halachically accurate? That is a complete and total misnomer. We call it that because it's easier to say than what it really is. But you know what the real name is? You know why there's a distinction between the two cases? Because, tell me what really matters. Some newfangled term called Bimbino Mimgenera, that's the name of the game? What really is the determining factor? What is the difference between the two cases? What makes case number one, chicken soup with the chicken soup, different from chicken soup and the potato soup? What's the answer? What's the real answer? Don't tell me Bimbamites the Bimbamino. Tell me what really makes the difference. Someone said, what? In one case it's Tom, in another case there's no Tom. The starting point, the baseline is everything's Bachel Barov until there's a Tom problem. Once there's a Tom problem, Tom can get their ice, and that unravels Rov. So the real reason why chicken soup and the chicken soup, or chicken soup and the potato soup are different from one another, is really because in one case there's Tom, and one case there's like Tom, Toshin. That's the real difference. So we colloquially, like Yiddishism, we say, oh, one's Mimbamino, one's Mimbashenimino. Why? Because when you say the words Mimbamino, that conjures up the image of what? When you say Mimbamino, what does that usually mean?
Tastes the same,
there's no time. And we say Mimbashenimino, that means there is time. But what you really mean to say is, in one case there is time, in one case there's no time. That's Tosh. In whose world do the terms Mimbamino, Mimbashenimino really mean something? Are those terms really accurate? In what? In Rabbi Huda's world, they're really accurate. Why? Because in Rabbi Huda's world, the reason why Mimbamino is in a bottle is because why? It's going to be a kind of superfluous statement, but the reason why Mimbamino in a bottle is because Mimbamino in a bottle. Because it's Mimbamino. That's the Chishatar. That's what Davos Sar is all about. So in the world view of Rabbi Huda, the distinction between the Taravis of Mimbamino versus Mimbamino really is a distinction between those two terms. The Torah's Mechadish Mimbamino is not Botel. Mimbamino was never included in that Chiddush. So if it meets the halachic criteria of being Jumi'ah Damapar, Damasor, and it has the halachic characteristics of Mimbamino, Chalzeh Nemar Ein Lo Bittel, and if it doesn't have those characteristics, that's a Mimbamino, it is Botel. So the definitive term of Mimbamino really do make sense in the worldview of Rabbi Yehuda. We almost borrow those terms in our view. We don't hold a review. So for us, what really matters is Tom versus no Tom. We just colloquially call it Mimbamino versus Mimbamino. But that's not really the Goyer. That's not the thing that's driving the halacha. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the difference between Trefa chicken soup and the kosher chicken soup and Trefa chicken soup and the potato soup is Mimbamino versus Mimbamino. According to us, the difference is Tom versus no Tom. Why does it make all the difference in the world? That was the Machlokes Abaye and Rava. How do you magdir something? Do you follow the shame or do you follow the Tom? That made sense in whose world? In the world of Rabbi Huda, when you really care about Mimbamino, when the halacha is nikva bosa Mimbamino versus in contrast to Mimbamino, says the Shach, so now it's imperative to define properly what exactly, what precisely is Mimbamino. So Abai is entitled to his definition, and Rav is entitled to his definition, because again, they're both valid definitions. One is highlighting one characteristic, one's highlighting the other characteristic. Question, which one is more important? But when you're talking about our world, when Mimbamino in a bottle is a non-entity, it's not a starter, what really matters to us is the Tam or not. If there is Tam, then we have a Deraisa problem. There's no Tam, there's a Derabana problem. What feature are we going to look for? What characteristic are we going to look for? What are we focusing on? What are we zeroing in on? Are we zeroing in on the official halachic term Mimbamino? What's the answer? No. What are we looking for? Either yeah, Tam or there's no Tam. So what's the Shachtad against the Ramah? How can you turn around and say, Basa Shmozlina? It doesn't really matter whether it tastes the same, it really matters that they called it. What does that mean? What does Basa Shmozlina have anything to do with us? Basa Shmozlina makes sense in the worldview of Rabbi Yehuda, but it's completely and totally irrelevant in our worldview. In our worldview, when we call it Mimbamino, Mimbamino, just for convenience sake, but it's really Yetam versus Notam, says the Shach, the only characteristic that carries any degree of weight is Yetam or Notam. And therefore, of course, it's Basa Tai Mazlina. So therefore, what the Ramah was willing to call a situation of, oh, it's only the Rabbanan anyway, don't worry about it, because it's Mimbamino, so it's only Shishim the Rabbanan, because it has the same name, the Shach says Chalila v'Chalila. If you can taste the difference, you can call it the same name for Tetzel Tam. If you can taste the difference, you have tam kikur, you have tam kikur shishin deraisa, something is lechomer. That's the Shach's pan against the Ramah. So according to the Shach, it comes out that the entire sugya, basa shmaz lina, basa taimaz lina, for our world, is irrelevant. Almost irrelevant. When will the Shach concede to the Ramah that came basa shmaz lina? What cases in halacha will basa shmaz, basa taimaz be important, even according to the Shach? Any areas of halacha that even we, in a sense, buy into Rabbi Yehuda's distinction. So when you're dealing with chumras of tevanyai nesech or maybe davshesh matir and hopefully coming up in sugyas to come, when you're dealing with halachas that even in our world differentiate between min v'mino versus bibishen amino, if that is the point of difference, so then yes, Rabbi is important. Rabbi says, again, we thank the Ramah for giving us basa shmaz lina. But in the world of regular taravis, where basa shmaz, basa time is irrelevant, the only thing that matters is tam, so that ultimately, whether you have a derabanan dika shishma or deraita shishma, has nothing to do with shma. That's everything in the world to do with basa taima. L'chol hadeya, says the Shach, unlike with the Ramah. So who saw this Ramah? Who chapped right away the problem with the Ramah? Shach is a starker taima, no? It's a very, very powerful taima against the Ramah. Maybe the Ramah doesn't have an answer, but it's a very, very powerful taima. Maybe in weeks to come, we'll come up with an answer to the Ramah. So basically, with all the dust settles, what do we have? So we started out with, I thought it's a small sugya. It's a day and a half, very small sugya. It revolved around one statement of Rava, Amar Rabbanu B'Shishim, i.e. in the case of the Mimino. So we raised the red flag, Mimino B'Shishim, really? That's not Rabbi Yehuda, right? It's not Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe. So we had to explain what the Machlokes Mimino Rabbanu was all about. We gave the razzle dazzle beer of the Ran yesterday. Then we raised the question, how do we pass it? We pointed out, there are three Gemaras, each one Rava talking and saying different things in different places. So we pointed out Machlokes Rashi against all the other Mishnah, Leber, Beit Tam, which Gemara really matters. We went through the three sugyas according to Rashi. These two Gemaras matter. Had Gemara Rashi with the Beit Ephraim, did a whole razzle dazzle on it, Tosfos rejected it, textual problems. Then we saw the Idach Gisra, Beit Tam, and the other Mishnah, who took our Gemara as the main Gemara. The Gemara Pesachim disappeared off the face of the earth, either because it never said it or it said it, blah, 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 tamein, didn't have the word Gisra, that Gisra, the other Gisra. At the end of the day, the Gemara Pesachim is less important than we thought. The Gemara of the Zara, Abai and Rava, are not necessarily Meshubah to Rabbi Yehuda. They can be arguing in Tevel and Yainesef, which support even for us. And then Lalacha, we point down Shulchan Aruch, that Rashi has been rejected with Gavri. Both angles of Rashi are rejected. And therefore, Sveikas are important. You have to figure out whether the Shishim is their Isa, their Abad, and the Fkudas of Sveikas. And then we had the last Nekudas of Machlokes, the Ramon, the Shach, just how do you define Mimbavino? So the Ramon went with their conventional sugyas of Avodah Zarah, using the terminology of Pasal Shmos, and the Shach's time that that's an incorrect application of that Gemara. This is, again, a fairly short sugya. It all revolved around that one word, that one phrase of it. Of course, what this sugya has done for us, besides being an important sugya of itself, it is setting us up for the next major, major, major sugya, which will probably be the last sugya of Tashanai and Tess for us. It's going to take us a while, the sugya. And then we'll leave it till talk to some of the Rum stuff, maybe at the end of the week, next week. But this is a very, very long, complicated, and many, many different pieces of the puzzle, different moving parts to the next sugya. And that is a long, long Tosfos. What Tosfos picked up, and of course, one of the three pivotal Gemaras, was that Gemara of Pesachim of Amar Rava, Hilchos Achatzos Pesach Asav Vashu, maybe, or maybe not. So Tosfos is now going to address all the intricacies of that Gemara, and we dropped a little, about Chametuz Manachos, Enos Mano. You know, there's a lot more than meets the eye. So hopefully, Mitzvah Shem, starting tomorrow, we're going to begin the sugya of Chanukah based on Asav Mashu, which again, hopefully, Mitzvah Shem will take us well into next week. Okay? Try to get ahead of the Rambam.